yesterday was the general strike.
Yep.
The second round, and today is the national rally that's been convocated in Rome.
Yep. So, and there's been some fantastic pictures of people of all sorts, all different age groups in many locations.
Yeah, you're talking about, 100,000 in Bologna, 70,000 in Torino. They're saying like 500,000 in Rome, which is 500,000 people in the streets. It's crazy.
Even and also little towns.
In little towns, yeah. Look, I got photos of my little cousins that are 14, 15 in San Casciano, which is like, not even sure, but Eltham or something. Do you know what I mean? Like very like little places that are full of people that are out in support. And I guess it's amazing to see this sort of community response, but it doesn't come out of the blue. And it's been a lot of organizational work. Like we were listening to in your Stick Together program, that's the work that it takes. It's the day-to-day work. It's the knowing that people can trust you. It's the knowing that you're creating these connections and not expecting people to already be where you're at. The situation is absolutely atrocious with the genocide that continues in Palestine, but that shouldn't condition our response to be one of expecting people to already be where we are, considering the amount of propaganda and the neoliberal soup that we live in.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And of course, this is because the Samud freedom flotilla has been unceremoniously stopped by the Israeli IOF, and they have been kidnapped and taken away. And as earlier reports from people who have been in this same situation in earlier times when people have attempted to try and bring support to the Palestinians, the people will be taken to a place where they're supposed to be signing a document that says we have illegally entered Israel. But of course, the person who was recounting their experience, they said, no, I wasn't. I didn't come illegally. You kidnapped me from international waters. And the female guard goes, get fucked. Splitting hers.
Yeah, well, 50 ships and most of them water cannoned throughout the night. They tried, obviously, they knew that all the, like, by they I mean the IDF knew that all eyes were on the flotilla as it represented a prime PR stunt for everyone. Apparently, it's reported that one ship got through, but still waiting on confirmation of the lone ship that did get through. But the response throughout Europe, which is majority of the ports have been are connected by the sea, has been one of blocking. So they've blocked trains, streets, bus lines, harbours, all with the help of the unions. There was some incredible video shared by the USB, which is the rank and file union that initially called the rally, of them organizing to bring precarious migrant African workers to the rally. So the African workers wanted to come. The USB organized buses to take them to the rally, and they headed the protest. That is the kind of work that it takes. Now, this week we've seen a lot of interests. Massimo from Philef was on yesterday on the Green Left radio doing an interview about it. We spoke at the Sunday rally because people want to know how we can move that here. It's hard because the situations are so different. The social fabric is different. The conditions are different. The material conditions are different and the union structures are different. But there are things that we can do here, and that is organize broadly across all institutions and all organizations that you're part of and start creating the links. Because the rally is not the end point. The rally is the manifestation of all the work that we've done collectively.
And we're going to have a listen to Renata, who spoke at the Sunday rally later in the program too, and she addresses some of the issues that Tobias talking about here. Let's go to some other headlines. There was a fascinating outpouring of support for Palestine at the UK Labour Conference. Labour policy... Party policy now officially accepts the landmark UN Commission of Inquiry report confirming the reality of Israel's genocide and demands the government imposes comprehensive sanctions on Israel, including a full arms embargo. P.S. The Labour leadership tried every trick in the book, it's reported, to prevent this decision from being reached. They ruled out motions, tabled their own watered-down motion, and hand-picked speakers in the debate who they knew supported their motion, but it didn't work. People will be familiar with this methodology at conferences of this sort.
It was an incredible conference. It also had a delegation from the Palestine General Trades Union that gave an incredible speech. I did my Stick Together, my last Stick Together episode on it, where you can hear it, as well as Daniel Cabetti, who is the National Education Union's General Secretary, do a really incredible speech that brings it home, what it means, union solidarity for Palestine.
I listened to a very interesting report by an English investigative journalist who was following the rather shadowy chief of staff of Stammer's chief of staff, who was the person who orchestrated what's called Labour Together. And it's an organisation which has been plagued with, this is in England, which has been plagued with insinuation that it has not actually divulged its full contributors. Like millions of dollars have been contributed to their supposed, bringing members of the Labour Party together, except that it's been traced to corporate interests and particular Zionist interests, and that despite obfuscation, they actually have not followed the Electoral Commission in London, England's rules. They've been chased for transparency. But it was this group of people from Labour Together that helicoptered Stammer in led the rather targeted and brutal attack on Corbyn that unseated him under the guise of anti-Semitism. So it's quite an interesting political coup that was done in England to change the arrangements in English Labour. But of course now there's this other party that has been created, which may, of course, refocus some of that energy that was in Corbyn's Labour.
Yeah, it's a pretty look.
It's a blood sport.
Yeah, that's it, and it really goes to show how much pressure that people need to be exerting on our politicians. I'll just read you an excerpt from Vijay Prashad's latest Tricontinental Institute of Social Research newsletter. On the 16th of September, the UN Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory published a 72-page report packed with facts that concluded on reasonable grounds that the Israeli government, its officials, and the military had committed and are continuing to commit acts of genocide with the intention of committing these acts. The judgment is far more encompassing than the International Court of Justice January 2025 finding of plausible evidence of genocide. The commission is led by Navi Pillay, a former judge on the South African High Court and at the International Criminal Court, who served as a UN High Commissioner for Human Rights from 2008 to 2014. She was clear and direct in her press statement following the release of the report. Quoting, "The Commission finds that Israel is responsible for the commission of genocide. in Gaza. It is clear that there is an intent to destroy the Palestinians in Gaza through acts that meet the criteria set forth in the Genocide Convention. Back to Vijay. There is no need to argue the case further. These are the strongest possible words.
We've got our own little stoush going on at the moment in Sydney. You may be aware that St. Vincent's Hospital and the Victor Chang Cardiac Research Institute have gone to ground following their controversial anti-Semitism claims against suspended cardiologist Peter McDonald. This is a report that was put together by Wendy Bacon and Kathy Peters, and it's reported in the Michael West online paper. They go on to say that the St. Vincent's has now, in wait a second, leading Australian cardiologist Professor Peter McDonald has not been at work at St. Vincent's for a month after he made a 30-second comment about a potential link between Israel's intelligence agency Mossad and two anti-Semitic incidents in Australia at a Palestinian Justice Movement Forum in Sydney. Now, a few days later, the pro-Israel medical lobby group Alliance Against Anti-Semitism in Healthcare complained to his employers, St. Vincent's Australia and the Victor Chang Cardiac Research Institute, accusing him of anti-Semitism. The institutions quickly issued media releases labelling McDonald's comments as anti-Semitic, racist and bigoted, anti-Semitic and conspiratorial, and antithetical to our aim of fostering community well-being. The St. Vincent's has now initiated an inquiry into whether McDonald's conduct breached its workplace code of conduct, which states that fairness is the bar we set ourselves. But in this case, says the report, St. Vincent's and its partner, Victor Chang Cardiac Research Institute's ill-considered media releases have remained on their websites, raised serious questions about how any such inquiry can be fair, open-minded and independent. Now, it goes on. This is the bit that's really fascinating about this report. And as it says, as the Michael West media does not allege that any of the individuals or organisations mentioned in this article have been involved in the action against McDonald. In the absence of transparency, however, it is important to reveal what influence the lobby might exercise over St. Vincent's and the broader health system, especially in the light of the cancellation of Grand Rounds seminars on the impact of war on children at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne and the Forum on Medical Care in Gaza at Perse Fiona Stanley Hospital after anti-Semitism complaints. The St. Vincent's Board is ultimately responsible for the public statement. The St. Vincent's Health Australia is a network of hospitals, including the two major St. Vincent's hospitals in Sydney and Melbourne, a number of private hospitals and aged care and community health services. Chris Blake has been replaced by Paul O'Sullivan. Now, Paul O'Sullivan has a long relationship with the Australian Israel Chamber of Commerce, the AICC. And more recently, Blake, who he's replaced, has been featured at their events. The AICC, the Australian Israel Chamber of Commerce, is a large and influential pro-Zionist organisation dedicated to building business relationships with Israel. O'Sullivan is best known for his work at Optus, where he worked for 3 decades, as the AFR described him as the most influential figure in a crisis-ridden company over the last 20 years. He was the CEO from 2004 to 2012 and chairman from 2014 until he stepped down August 2025. He is currently chair of the ANZ and Western Sydney Airport. He attracted media attention in September 2023 when Optus suffered its first emergency outage. In late September, the federal court imposed a $100 million penalty on Optus for unconscionable conduct in misleading vulnerable Australians into buying phones. also, as chair of the ANZ, he was the one who was overseeing the when the ATSIC recorded a $240 million fine for unconscionable conduct, including for failing to refund fees to thousands of deceased customers. Anyway, it's all fairly murky, that. But it's basically the Optus has had a business partnership with the AICC, the Israeli business outfit. In 2011, O'Sullivan said in a speech to the AICC on behalf of Optus, "The chamber is amazing. I have done a couple of trips now to Israel with the chamber and each time have been so impressed with the efficiency with which they connect Australian companies and Israeli companies." As revealed by Michael West Media earlier this year, in 2012, the AICC and the Israel Trade Commission hosted a cyber roadshow tour of 12 Israeli weapons and cyber security companies, including Israel's largest weapon company, Elbit Systems. It's if you want to get the full report, go to Michael West Media and you will see there's further connections between all these different people who are in key positions throughout the medical areas of administration, as well as Australian universities.
And you can also go online and check out the doctors, what was said. It just wasn't that, it just wasn't that crazy.
No, it's right. I mean, it's a bit like Antoinette Latouf, who said, oh my goodness.
Or Mary Costakides,
or any. The emperor has no clothes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty incredible stuff. And if you want to hear more from Wendy Bacon, she's got amazing reports with friend of the show Ahmed Alabadla online. You can also hear Sydney criminal lawyer Nick Hanna, who's got a podcast called The What and the Why, who does probably one of the most comprehensive investigations into the ousting of the Iranian ambassador and the intelligence information that was supplied and how actually flimsy it is.
It's terribly insidious to, I mean, talk about bad actors undermining your national democratic processes. It's insidious, I'll have to say. And I just want to finish our headlines with a much more local and much more scary. I mean, well, how can it be scarier, really? But I don't know if you've been keeping tabs at all on the algae bloom that's destroying and killing the wildlife, the sea front in South Australia. But of course, we live in a world, so of course it's having effect all over the place. But there was an article here, Sea Lion Protection Plan Amid Tons of Dead Sea Life. This was from a South Australian source. The beach cleanups amass some 1,600 kilometres of sea life, including long snout boarfish, whitings and leatherjack fish in the past 7 days, according to an algae bloom briefing to the Adelaide Coastal Council's network on Friday morning. The Australian sea lion is an iconic marine species, drawing visitors from around the world to our shores, and these measures are vital to help their recovery during their unprecedented algae bloom event, because they're going to do a comprehensive plan announced on Friday by Federal Environment Minister or Environmonster. Murray Watt and his state counterpart Lucy Hood would involve inoculating sea lion pups against hookworm to improve their survival, controlling feral cats to reduce disease spread, and installing shelters at high-risk sites, including the Spencer Gulf Sea Bay. It's sort of a bit like, closing the door after the horse has bolted, right? We are determined to protect and regenerate Australian sea lion numbers, and this program is supporting targeted conservation efforts. In terms of the mass of dead sea life, it was collected by 36 people each day, including members of the Kulwa Pipi Co, who have been out of work during the algae bloom outbreak. as machine retrieval and volunteer groups also work to collect the dead creatures made up of numerous marine species across the state. The latest figures come from over 2 tonnes of dead sea life was collected by hand last week, according to a state government algae bloom reference group briefing. About 550 different species were now reported to have died from the bloom, according to the iNaturalist South Australian Marine Mortality Events page, a citizen scientist project created by marine biologist Janine Baker. It's called the iNaturalist South Australia Marine Mortality Events page. These scientists, who aren't working for the Department of Environment, they're working off their own love for this ocean, because they are the ones that keep rocking up and keep trying really hard, says Wilkes. Federal Environment Minister Murray Watson, Bloomberg MP Lucy Miller-Frost posing with Disaster Relief Australia cleanup crews on Thursday. That was the picture, another photo opportunity. The state's new algae bloom hotline was announced on Thursday. The state government's postman said further beach cleanup work was being considered for South Australian regions. The state government has put significant effort in, apparently. The group is veteran-led and has made almost 270 trips to 24 South Australian beaches in the past 3 weeks in a clean-up effort, dubbing Operation Harris. So it's become a military exercise. And they're all really worried about what's going to happen when summer hits, because nobody will be able to swim. Now, as I was saying to Tobiah before I was collecting this data, that the headline should be People's Priorities and Nature's Disregard.
Especially coming into summer, when the oceans desperately need our help in maintaining dwindling populations, as we spoke to Faith Coleman a couple months ago.